It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. I started a series last week on discussing a very important point on the millennial debate. It's actually the heart of the millennial debate, the main question. Of course, you have all these questions about the nature of the millennium and so forth. But when I was in my PhD program, and I believe it was my first year, of course, you're thinking about, you have different proposals for a dissertation, and you're, you know, you want to, the whole point of a dissertation is to contribute original research to a certain field in biblical studies. And the school that I went to had a major focus on Greek linguistics, using modern Greek or modern linguistic theory and reconfiguring this different theories back into, you know, ancient languages. And so, because you can't just impose a, you know, English categories upon Greek, right? You have to reconfigure analysis or reconfigure categories in order to analyze ancient languages in light of linguistic theory. So, and I was, of course, I had an interest in eschatology, and I was looking for a passage, and not just a passage, but a particular area in linguistic theory, what would be called more functional linguistics or systemic functional linguistics, SFL. And I had this kind of a epiphany, and I was like, you know, looking at some passages in the book of Revelation, and I thought to myself, well, you know, in Revelation chapter 19 and 20, the key issue, the question, the millennial debate, and I'm just kind of shocked how many discussions on the millennium do not even address the main question in the millennial debate. And again, that's what I discussed last time, and that is, is there a relationship between the victory of Jesus in Revelation chapter 19 and the binding of Satan in Revelation 20 and the victory of the saints? Is there a relationship? And, you know, if there is this relationship, if there shouldn't be a chapter break there, then pretty much all sides practically agree that the premillennial perspective is correct. But if they're disconnected from each other, there isn't any this cause and effect action happening. That is, the binding of Satan is not caused by the coming of Christ in Revelation chapter 19. Then many postmillennials and especially amillennials, obviously this would strengthen their case. And again, I'm going to get into that maybe in a bit here or in the next week. So I was thinking through this. I was like, wow, there's a linguistic theory called cohesive harmony in linguistic theory, modern linguistic theory and functional linguistics. And cohesive harmony, and also something called information flow, but especially cohesive harmony, is a tool, a linguistic tool that answers these exact sorts of questions of whether there is cohesion between, for example, in our case here, between two passages. And so, and then I started researching this. I was like, certainly there has been a Greek linguistic analysis publication on Revelation 19 and 20 addressing this question. And I researched and found that there wasn't any. And it was a shock to me to learn that there's never been an actual Greek analysis of the millennial passage in the book of Revelation. So I thought, okay, this I think I've found my research question. And of course, not just my methodology, but the passage I'm going to apply it to and the very specific question. So I worked on that for a number of years and sharpening the linguistic theory. And of course, doing a lot of research on this passage. And of course, you know, when you do that, you're introduced to the different theories out there on the millennial debate, post-mill, a-mill, pre-mill, and what's called thematic millennialism. So last time that's a little bit of background on the book that I'm going through, because the book I'm going through is called A Linguistic Approach to Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 through 20, verse 6, and the Millennium Binding of Satan. This is my published dissertation here. It's in Brill. It's in the monograph series of Linguistic Biblical Studies, volume 23. It's a pretty technical volume. Monograph series, and the book can be technical as well, but there are, of course, a number of chapters that I think like lay people can actually work through. And I'm going to go through this and, of course, try to explain this in the best, more general terms that I can. I don't want to encourage you to buy the book. It's extremely expensive. I mentioned this last time, but Brill has, it's an academic series, so they have a business model where they really focus on selling to research libraries. I mean, you can buy the book if you want. I don't even know if you can buy it on Amazon. Haven't looked there for a while, but you typically would, when you buy like really technical monograph books, publications, you typically don't buy them through Amazon. You buy them through the actual publisher. So that would be Brill. So last time I just kind of gave you an overview of what the millennial debate is about. What is the main question? How do all these other type of questions about the millennium, where do they flow from? And I want to expand on this. Actually, I think on Twitter, I mentioned I was going to go through the four views out there, three or four views. But I think that's going to be for next time, because I do want to expand more on what the main question in the millennial debate, and I want to discuss a historical note, a very important historical note on, you know, where do we get chapter breaks? And I'm going to explain that this Archbishop of Canterbury in early 13th century is the man responsible for chapter breaks and really kind of messed up a lot of interpretation doing so, even though he had the right motives. Okay, so again, I'm working through my volume, so I'm reading some of this, but of course I'm going to stop and comment on some points. All right, I note here that all interpreters, of course, they recognize that, you know, from different perspectives, right, amillennial, post-mill, so forth, they do recognize that Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21, and chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, belong to a larger scene. Okay? A larger scene. So, you know, you have David Olney and Rezegui and Mounts and Blount and many others. I mean, there's, you know, we actually all agree this is a larger scene. It's part of a larger scene. This passage that is part of a larger linguistic environment. And this includes non-sequential interpreters. For example, Smalley places chapter 19, verse 11 through 21, and chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, within the sixth scene of seven. That's Stephen Smalley in his commentary, The Revelation to John. And Greg Beale also understands chapter 20, verse 1 through 15 as, quote, part of the larger literary segment extending from chapter 17, verse 1 to chapter 21, verse 8. Now, in this sense, non-sequential interpreters. Now, when I say non-sequential interpreters, I'm referring to, and again, I'll be get into this next week when I go through the different views. There's two main views, two overarching main views, what's called sequential and non-sequential. And the non-sequential, typically a millennial, will say that the millennial binding of Satan does not sequentially follow from the victory of Jesus in chapter 20. Okay. So again, when I say non-sequential, I'm typically meaning amillennial. So in this sense, with Bill, non-sequential interpreters do not view these two units constituting an absolute literary break from each other, since they are understood to be part of a larger literary scene. Our question, however, as noted above, focuses on the cohesive links between chapter 19:11 through 21 and chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, which sequential and non-temporal interpreters have recognized, the former construing the links sequentially, and the latter thematically. Now, I have a footnote here. The link sequentially, the sequential interpretation, okay, the sequential interpretation, that would be, for example, premillennial, understands the millennium binding of Satan and the millennium reign of the saints as historical consequent effects. Okay, so a good example, let's say Grant Osborne in his commentary on Revelation, Robert Thomas in his Revelation, an exegetical commentary, Hoyner, and there's many others. The edited volume in The Coming Millennial Kingdom with Campbell and Townsend, Blazing, Three Views on the Millennium and Beyond. And a note here, while sequential interpreters have argued that chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, is linked to chapter 19, verse 11 through 21, the traditional analysis of these links from the immediate context have been minimal, typically focusing on, for example, the link of, quote, deception. And I give an example here. So this, basically, I'm critiquing my own camp for not focusing on the most important question in the millennial debate, right? So, for example, premillennial interpreter Grant Osborne scantly notes any linguistic cohesion between chapters 19 and 20 and argues that the decision should be made, quote, made on other grounds. Okay, this is a deep critique of mine with Osborne. He just gives way too much ground to all millennialists here. So he doesn't even think, you know, the millennial debate can be decided on Revelation 19 and 20. I could not disagree more with him on that. And he doesn't give any reasons for this as well. Because he says, well, there's scant evidence. Well, this is the reason why I think my volume is a needed volume to fill this vacuum, is because there's 90,000 words refuting Grant Osborne's claim that there's, quote, scant evidence for a premillennial view here. Anyway, I just think his comments were unnecessary. And again, Grant Osborne, he's not a linguist. He's not into the, you know, he wasn't into the, you know, the languages and the deep exegesis and so forth. But again, anyway, moving on. So I note here, and this is consequently, by not discovering significant linguistic relations, which I do in this volume, sequential interpreters fail to establish a stronger thread of continuity. They, again, I'm critiquing my own camp here, other premillennial interpreters, they shift too quickly to other lines of argumentation found outside of the immediate codex of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and verse 20, verse 6. By the way, when I mentioned the term co-text, that's a more of a linguistic term. It basically means the immediate context, okay? Kind of a 50-cent term. Okay, while the co-text of the larger discourse of Revelation should be examined, and I do that in chapter 6, so of course we should look outside of the millennial passage. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But I note here that my study concentrates on a linguistic strategy of the target text that establishes a stronger cohesive unity between chapters 19, 11 through 21 and chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. So you have to understand the millennial question, like if it can be demonstrated clearly that there are linguistic relations between the binding of Satan and the victory of the saints in Revelation 20 and the coming of Christ in the battle, the final the battle victory in Revelation chapter 19. If there is relations there, then premillennialism is on solid ground. But if there isn't any relations, then we can't argue for premillennialism in this passage. And again, my thesis in this book is that not only are there just a few strands of evidence, they're all over the place. It's and interpreters have not rightly, and maybe because they weren't linguistically minded in the past and more theological minded, they just have not recognized that. And that's why this volume is, I think, a major contribution to premillennial literature. Okay, I continue here. And then I note here, so getting back into the main text, I was talking about the sequential view, basically premillennial, but I also note that, you see, a lot of interpreters, when they talk about, oh, this is all just talking about more thematic issues or not so much historical temporal events, even they themselves, thematic millennialism, actually agrees with premillennialism that there are cohesive links between Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21 and verses 20, verse 1 through 6. And I'll get into this another time, but this is the point that people have to understand that sometimes you might hear that, well, there's more amillennial interpreters or commentaries out there than premillennialists. And that may be true. I might give pushback on that, but that's the wrong analysis. You have to include thematic interpreters as well, because thematic interpreters also believe, they may not see it as a historical event, but even thematic and liberal interpreters who are also thematic would agree with evangelical premillennialists that there is a narrative logical cause and effect between Jesus coming in victory at the battle of Revelation chapter 19 and the effect or the consequent in with the binding of Satan. So actually it's all millennialists, the non-sequential view that is in the minority when it comes to this interpretation. I note here, this is a good point that Blazing makes, which basically that's the point I just summarized, but let me just note his words here. He says, or the point that even though non-temporal interpreters do not hold to a historical temporal realization of the millennium, I mean, we have like, you know, Richard Bachman, right? There's others, Fiorenza, who wrote the book of Revelation, Justice and Judgment. You have Ramsey Michaels, Collins, Adela Yarborough Collins, Robert Wall, and you also have David Matthewson. Maybe some of you have heard of David Matthewson. He's written in some works with Baker Academic and Greek linguistic analysis. Intermediate, he has got an intermediate Greek grammar. He's written a handbook on the Greek in the Book of Revelation. In fact, he was my professor at Gordon-Conwell. I had a few Greek courses with him. And I believe he is now at Denver Seminary. So he would take a thematic millennial view. But even so, all these thematic, again, they agree with not all millennialists, not the non-sequential, but the sequential. Were both premillennial and thematic are both sequential. They would agree with premillennials that there is a relation here between the binding of Satan and the victory of Jesus in Revelation chapter 19. another thematic is Rezegui in his commentary, Revelation of John. That's another one too. And I note here that the thematic millennialist, nevertheless, they maintain that the millennium is, at least it's a thematic and literary consequent of the parousia, and not a vision of circumstances that exist prior to the parousia. Note that last part. So they don't agree. They disagree with all millennialists that Revelation 20, those events of millennial binding Satan and the victory of the saints, they disagree with all millennialists that those are circumstances that exist prior to the parousia. Because you have to keep in mind, all millennialists believe that the binding of Satan happened at Christ's first coming. And that the victory of the saints is happening throughout the church age. And so both thematic millennialists and premillennialists with the exclamation point would say, no, there's no evidence for that. And when you look at the relations between Revelation 19 and 20. Okay, so... I haven't even got to the chapter break issue, and I think I'm just going to do maybe next time just do the whole program on that. But let me, because we really have to dig deep to understand the millennial debate, and this is obviously not a surface level discussion. And it's definitely not going to make the number one podcast on Spotify this week, but that's the whole point of this. I want you to understand this deeply. So let me just finish up by saying, I note here that I say non-sequential interpreters, again, all millennialists, on the other hand, what they do, they place a cohesive break at chapter 20, verse 1 by disconnecting these two units. Chapter 19, verse 11 through 21 is situated in the parousia setting, while they place Revelation 20, verse 1 through 6, which includes the millennial binding of Satan and the victory of the saints, they situate it in the inter-advent setting. Okay, again, like Greg Bill, Smalley, Morris. By cohesive break, okay, another term for this could be semantic discontinuity. What I mean by this is that they would say that Revelation 20 verse 1 is an establishment of a new semantic environment that is not semantically linked with what immediately came before it. Okay, that's key. I got to repeat this because this is the heart of the amillennial interpretation. They would argue that Revelation 20 verse 1 shifts completely to, you know, with the binding of Satan and the victory of the saints. They would say it establishes a new, okay, not a continuous, but a new semantic environment from what was just talked about in Revelation 19, the victory, the battle, And they would say that's not semantically linked with what immediately came before it. And I note here that the problem with this, it disrupts the coherent narrative. And this is my thesis in this book. It disrupts the coherent narrative by disconnecting chapter 20, verse 1 through 6 from the eschatological battle portrayed in chapter 19, 11 through 21, resulting in the fragmenting and skewing of John's message. In non-sequential literature, there's a lack of exegetical linguistic argumentation for this cohesive break. Now, some people note that, let me just note this here. The study, therefore, aims to provide objective, quantitative linguistic support that no cohesive break occurs at 20 verse 1. So obviously this is a dissertation. You need a methodology. My methodology is systemic functional linguistics. You reconfigure that, and I use it as a tool to demonstrate objective, quantitative linguistic support that that there is no cohesive break occurring at chapter 20, verse 1, as all millennialists would argue. But just to go back to this one point here I make, so I'm making this claim that in that all millennial literature lacks exegetical linguistic argumentation for this cohesive break. And in a footnote I note here, I said that nevertheless, Greg Beall is a representation of the non-sequential framework. In his commentary, if you want to reference that, pages 974 through 83. And then I continue, just quoting myself, so I will focus on his argumentation when responding to the non-sequential view. In addition, while there is some exegesis in the following studies, they are mostly driven from traditional, theological, and literary approaches. So you have, you know, Hughes. Some of you who are familiar with millennial debate or literature will know some of these names. So you have Hughes in his article on Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, White reexamining the evidence, Hoekema in his, you know, the Bible in the Future, Ritterbarger, Sam Storms, right? But again, they don't get into linguistic issues. They're more from theological or literary type of approaches. Okay. But even Beall, and I forget where I note this too. I note this somewhere, maybe it's later in the introduction, but Greg Beall, even though he's the representation in my dissertation when I respond to all millennial interpretation, it's only only 9 pages, which, you know, for a near 1,000 page commentary, he devotes just a few pages to his amillennial claim, and that's not much really at all. So basically, all millennialists do not have a lot of literature from an actual linguistic, Greek linguistic perspective on when they argue for their interpretation. It's typically, you know, your theological and your literary arguments. Okay, so I am going to stop there because the next section is going to get into this issue of chapter breaks. And again, I'm not saying that like Greg Beall and every millennialist out there is 100% influenced by artificial breaks in our modern Bibles. But there is definitely something to say about it, especially if you notice practically every time the millennial debate comes up, where do people begin? Yeah, at the artificial chapter break, Revelation 20. Verse 1, I never allow all millennialists to begin Revelation 20, verse 1. They just dive right in the middle of the passage. The context begins back in Revelation chapter 19. But anyway, we're gonna continue more of more of this discussion next time. And really, I'm gonna give you explain a little bit of the background of where chapter breaks came from. And I think it's actually an important point to make in our larger discussion on the millennial debate. Well, if you've made it this far, then it sounds like you're maybe a regular listener to this program, or this topic has a lot of interest for you. You know, I like to say that I support my family through this ministry. And if you benefit from this program or other resources at Eschatos Ministries, please consider supporting us by becoming a ministry partner, which is giving on a monthly basis. And you can go to alankirshner.com and sign up, or I will leave a link in the show notes. Hey, thanks everyone, and we'll see you next week.